that is Joy M. from Montgomery area.
Woo! Hi, I'm an addict named Joy. And I'm really grateful to be here today, even though I'm so nervous. Step six for me was a huge turning point in my recovery. I know that for a lot of people it was step four, and step four was a good one, but step six really was the one that really changed really my whole perspective on life and God and recovery. And it was definitely a process. It took me about 2 years to do it thoroughly, but it was the best thing that I did. So just to kind of let y'all know where I'm from, I'm from PG County, and I was raised in Cumberland, and I moved here when I was about 10 to PG County. My father was a Southern Baptist minister, and I was raised in a really religious home. And God, for me, when I got here, was really a difficult concept. I had a lot of resentments against God. I had a lot of, I had a very tenuous relationship with God. It was touch and go for a while there. And for a lot of those reasons, when I got to step six, I really became stuck. I got to a certain point with step six, and I just couldn't go forward anymore with step six. And I really had to go back and take a look at my second step, because I did not have the faith to back up the willingness that's needed to carry through with being entirely ready. And my sponsor always would tell me, you don't have to be entirely ready all the time. You only have to be entirely ready for 1 second is enough. It's just that one moment of being entirely ready that you need in order to follow through and to move forward in this step. And I couldn't even get that. I couldn't even get 1 second of being entirely ready. And this morning I was looking back over my step work, and I called my sponsor and I called my girlfriends, and I'm so nervous. Like, I had to pee like 10 times already. I have to pee again. Like, it's ridiculous. But I'm really grateful to be here and share my experience, strength, and hope with you all. And for one of the reasons that it was very hard for me to have that faith that's so necessary in step six, and I really do believe it, is because I was raised in such a religious home, and the ideas and the concepts that were taught to me as a child about God didn't work for me when I got here. And when I did my first step two and step three, it says in step two that a lot of us will pass over the step with a minimum of concern. And it wasn't that I passed over it with a minimum of concern. It was that it worked for me at that point in my recovery. It was okay for me at that time. But I got to a point where I really needed to go back and reevaluate that relationship with my higher power. And I had some, when I was raised with my parents and church and everything, they always taught me that, God is going to be there for you if you're faithful, if you're a good person, and God is going to be good to you. And it was very much about that belief that we're humans and we're sinners, but as long as, we stay on the right path, then God is going to take care of us. And that's not part of my story. When I was 13, I was raped. When I was 14, there was another attempted rape. When I was 15, I ended up pregnant. And when I had the abortion, the church that my father was the pastor of split apart. My dad actually stood up at the pulpit and told the whole church that I was pregnant. And my mom and I were sitting in the congregation, because as a family, we hadn't made any decisions about how we were going to handle what had happened. And the church split apart. And to me, that was abandonment. To me, the church abandoned me. God abandoned me. My father abandoned me. I had a lot of emotions, and I had a lot of feelings about that. And as a, you know, a 15-year-old girl that has been through just some really traumatic events, feeling abandoned is not where you want to be. So my relationship with God at that point, I actually left the church. I didn't go back to church for many, many years after that happened. And my parents ended up divorcing. And so there were just a lot of things that happened in my family, and I associated all of that with abandonment from God. So when I started using, I really had this kind of concept, or I had this feeling that, you know what, it didn't really freaking matter because God had abandoned me anyway. So I could do whatever I wanted to do, you know, it's just, it's not going to make any difference because God has already left me. And I felt that. I remember I was a pill junkie, and I worked for doctors, I worked for surgeons, and I would write my own prescriptions. And when, by the time I came into the rooms, I was taking 30 to 40 Vicodins every day. I was taking Xanax and Valium, just whatever I could get my hands on, I was taking. And I was arrested multiple times for marijuana and prescription fraud. And I remember trying to fill prescriptions, and I would ask the devil to help me. I would say, "Devil, if you'll just give me this prescription, you know, we're on the same page." Because I wasn't going to ask God to help me, because I didn't think God was going to help me anyway. And he frowned upon my actions. I mean, obviously God doesn't want me to be using drugs. So I asked the devil to help me. And so when I came into the rooms and I started doing step work, and I got to that point where I really, you know, especially, you know, step two and step three, when the first couple years that I was in recovery, that faith that I had was enough to get me through to the next part of my recovery. But once I got to step six, once I got to a point where I really had to start working on myself and I really had to have some faith, the faith that I had at that time wasn't enough, because I really didn't have faith. This morning when I was reading back over my step work, a lot of what I was writing about was, I just don't believe that God is going to help me. And if I gave up these character defects, if I gave up some of this behavior that I had adopted over the years to sustain my life, because I wasn't living, I was just sustaining, who would I be without them? Where would I be without them? I thought I was going to be vulnerable again. I thought I was just going to be open to whatever life brought my way. And I wasn't okay with that, because life had never been good to me. Life was never had my back. Life and God, I felt, had abandoned me. And I was the one that carried me through. I was the one, you know, that that was able to, you know, get me on to the next day, because I was living on a day by day basis, you know, when I came into the rooms. And I am so I really, when I was talking to my sponsor, and I was probably on step six for about a year. And I remember we had a conversation, and all of a sudden, it just kind of clicked for both of us that I needed to go back, and I needed to go back to step two, and I really needed to reevaluate my relationship with my higher power. And, you know, a lot of my character defects are just character defects that we all have, you know, but a big one for me was living in fantasy. Fantasy was my escape, because I couldn't deal with the reality of my life. And I also did not accept myself. I did not accept myself on any level. I wanted to look different, be different. I wanted to have a different past. I wanted to have different parents. I lived in like self-pity, and the victim role for me was what I did. I did the victim role. I wanted other people to take care of me, and when they didn't take care of me, I was angry and I was frustrated. And I would drop them and find somebody who would take care of me. And, you know, and I did. I found a man that took care of me in a very abusive way. You know, I married a man that was an addict, and we had a very interesting relationship. And, you know, and that relationship for me was the pinnacle in my using, because it really I got to a point when I was in treatment where I realized that I could not go back to him and stay clean. I had to leave that relationship. And in doing that, like, I was stepping out on faith. And coming into the rooms, I was stepping out on faith. In doing step work, I was stepping out on faith, but I didn't acknowledge that. I didn't internalize what I was actually doing. I didn't have the ability at that time to recognize that I really was doing those things, even though I didn't feel like I was doing them. So when I went back to step two, I did a lot of different things, actually. I talked to a lot of people about it, and I got a lot of suggestions about how to go through dealing with how to change my mind about my higher power, because for me, God was standing on a mountaintop like Zeus with a lightning bolt just ready to chuck it at me at any given moment. And I had to change that perspective of my higher power. And so I did some different things. I looked up pictures on the internet of I just Googled higher power images, and I looked at a lot of different pictures, and I made a list of what I wanted my higher power to be, and I made a list of what my higher power was at that time, and I tore up my list of what he was, and I just kept my list of what I wanted to have in a higher power. And once I got to that point where I was able to have faith and trust that I was going to be comforted and that I was going to be taken care of and that I was not going to be abandoned, that was when I was really able to move forward with step six. And that really was a turning point for me in my recovery. And I am so grateful for that process. Like, I can't, today where my life is now with my faith, is just, I never expected that my life would be the way that it is today. And things don't go the way that I want them to go, and things don't happen the way that I want them to happen. And even though I might want to orchestrate things and I want to put my, you know, two cents in there and try to manipulate situations, I have come to the understanding that what my higher power has planned for me is always better than what I could do for myself. And that is through step six. That is through being able to allow myself to be vulnerable to the process and open to what my higher power wants to put into my life. Because those character defects that I held on to so tightly, in recovery, they don't work for me anymore. It doesn't work for me to live in fantasy. It doesn't work for me to have jealousy in my life. It doesn't work for me to have these things that I adopt, and I fall back on them all the time. Don't get me wrong. It's not like I'm, you know, little Miss Serene. No, not at all. You know, I go through a lot of stuff, and I've been here since June 7th of 2005. I got my days downstairs, and I have like 2,867 days, and I just looked at it, and I was like, what? That's crazy talk, you know? I never thought I would stop smoking marijuana. Like, I loved to smoke marijuana, and I never thought I would stop that. Among anything else, like, everything else I knew when I came in here that I needed to stop doing those things, but not that. That I was not willing to do. I love reggae music, and that was very synonymous for me, was to do those things together. And I have found actually that I still love reggae music just as much as I used to. But and you know, it's just so interesting how things work out and how the process works me. You know, like, I do a lot of work and I sit in my shit a lot, and you know, it takes me a while to do step work, but when I allow myself to internalize what I have been doing, I do a lot better in my recovery and in my life. And I have to give myself credit. You know, a friend of mine and I, we were driving down here to the convention, and you know, she was asking me, she's coming up on a year clean, and she was asking me what I did and how I did it and what I do to maintain where I'm at and to also move forward, because there's definitely a difference between maintaining and moving forward. we can maintain, but that's, you know, I'm tired of maintaining, you know? I don't want to maintain anymore. Like, I want my life to get better, and I want to move forward in my life, and I'm excited about what's going to happen in the future. And I told her, I said, you know, it's not any one thing. Like, I do step work. I actually go to church. I just found a church that I really enjoy going to, which is amazing, because I used to, even the first couple of times I walked in there, they have these people at the connection corner, you know, to answer any questions that you have. And I wanted to just, I just would imagine myself walking in there and just berating them, you know, with stuff and like asking them questions. And because I know a lot about the Bible and I know a lot about religion, and I just wanted to just walk in there and put them in their place, you know. And but I didn't. I just, and now, like, I don't even feel the need to, because they're just people, you know, just like we're all addicts and we're all in this together. Like, we're all in that together as well. And that has just been something that has enhanced my relationship with my higher power. And I don't know if I believe all the stuff they believe, and I don't know if I agree with all the stuff that they would want to talk about, but it doesn't matter to me, because it's just like coming in here. Like, I don't have to agree with what everybody says in here. I don't have to, you know, get on board with some people's opinions. You know, I can form my own opinion, and I can move forward with that as long as it helps me in my recovery. And I'm confident in that, you know. And I never was confident in myself before. I didn't have self-esteem, you know. I didn't have the ability to make good decisions in my life. I didn't, and these are all character defects, stuff that my sponsor had written down for me. Like, I was really judgmental because I was so insecure. So I would look at people and I would judge them, but inside what it was is it was envy. I wanted what they had and I didn't feel like I had it. But the reality is that I do have it. Like, I have everything inside that I need in order to move forward. I just need to recognize that it's there and allow myself to be open so that I can grab onto it and use it in a productive way. You know, all of our defects are just the reverse of assets. And when I was doing my fourth step with my sponsor and she wrote down all my assets, I just put that list away. I never looked at it again because I didn't believe it. Like, I didn't know that I had any of those things inside of me, and it was incomprehensible that somebody could look at me and see those things in me, because I just did not have the faith that I had any of that. And you know, now I look at that list and it's amazing to me, because I do have all of that stuff. And the reality is that it was there all the time. It just, I wasn't able to see it. So I'm grateful for step six for so many reasons. And the main one is that it really helped me to move forward with my relationship with my higher power, which has been the pinnacle for me. That turning point for me in my recovery and the ability to move forward and to have faith that once I let go of these character defects, that God was not going to leave me behind. He wasn't just going to leave me empty and vulnerable to the world and whatever came my way. I was going to have tools and things that I could use in order to deal with this stuff and to move forward. And I know a lot of people hate step six, and I hated it when I was going through it. But it really is one of my favorite steps now, just because it helped me so much. And I had about a little over a year ago, I was in a relationship and that relationship ended. And I was devastated. I was absolutely devastated. And I had to move out of where I was living, and I actually moved back into my dad's house. And I was overwrought with character defects. My character defects took control and did not let go for a long time, for a really long time. And I lived in that. And I would have moments of clarity where I wasn't able to really kind of see past, where I was able to see past what I was stuck in, but it never lasted. It didn't last for long, and really for a while. I mean, for the past year, I've really been stuck in a lot of that stuff, and it was judgment and anger and fear and pain and abandonment and jealousy and, you know, that victim thing, like, why did you do this to me again? You know, as much as I've been through in my life, I just can't believe that God would do this to me again. And, you know, I just was so angry, and I wasn't able to see past that anger. And, you know, recently I, for some reason, I don't know what really happened, but something inside of me clicked. And it was that ability to see the opposite side of it, which, you know, instead of just focusing on what was wrong with the situation, I was able to see what was right with the situation. And every time I would pray about it, and any time I would, you know, try to meditate and ask God, you know, God would tell me to wait. And I was like, I'm not fucking waiting. Like, really? Like, I don't wait. Like, I want results now. I want answers now. I want this now. Like, this is not good enough. And I would just, and I was telling God what I thought he should do. And my higher power just kept saying, you know, Joy, just wait. Just relax. Everything's going to be okay. Just wait. And for some reason, I was able to do that, and the reality of the situation is that everything happens for a reason, and everything is exactly the way that it should be right now at this moment. And I hate it when people say that to me. Oh God, I hate it when people say, you're right where you should be. Oh, it just irritates me, but it's so true. You know, it's just, it really is so true that I am exactly where I need to be, and life is exactly where it needs to be. And I don't know if what's happening in my life is a bad thing or a good thing, because I don't know what the outcome of that situation is going to be yet. And today I'm okay with that. Tomorrow I might not be. But exactly as it says in the step, I don't have to be entirely ready all the time. I can be entirely ready at any given moment, and that's okay, because being in Narcotics Anonymous and being in recovery allows me to be human. It allows the humanity in me to be accepted and not to be a big problem. You know, when I was growing up, humanity was not okay because we were original sin, you know, and I hate that, like, because deep down inside, we're all good people, and we all have things to offer. We just have to get through the, like, untangle the Christmas lights. You know, I heard, I think that was even at a convention one year, I heard a workshop, and she was talking about untangling the Christmas lights and how, what a process it is. It's so tedious, you know, when they all get jumbled up. But once you get done, you have this, you know, beautiful strand of Christmas lights. And that to me is the process of step work, and I'm okay with that today. You know, I have a lot of acceptance today. I have a lot of gratitude today, and really nothing has changed. You know, I'm still living at my dad's house. I'm still I go to work and I go to school, and you know, I have a lot of things in my life, which is all the same that it was 6 months ago. Just today I have a different perspective on my life. I have a different way of looking at, you know, what's actually valuable in the relationships that I have, and what I'm willing to do to move some of those relationships forward, because we all deserve a second chance. That's what we're all here for, you know, and we all deserve to move forward, and I want to be that person, you know. I want to be a better person today because of the work that I do in Narcotics Anonymous. And I am, you know, I was at work, I guess it was early in the week, actually, and I actually watched three people get arrested for prescription fraud. And I was standing at the window in my office, and I was watching the police officers outside, and I was watching them arrest these people, and I was so grateful. I was so, so grateful that that is not me and it is not my life anymore. So, of course, me being me, I walked down outside and I'm like, "Hi, officers, how are you all doing today?" And they're just looking at me, and I said, "So what happened?" And he said, "Prescription fraud." And I said, "I knew it. And I'm so glad I don't live that way anymore." And he just kind of looked at me. And because my looks are something that I used to use to get away with shit. Like, I used to use my innocence. You know, pharmacists would look at me a little crooked when I would go pick up some of these prescriptions, and I would just smile, and they would give it to me, you know. And I mean, I definitely used to use that, and now today, like, I don't have to use anything because I can stand on the street corner and really tell everyone what I'm doing at any given moment. You'd probably be really bored, actually. But, you know, it was such a cool thing to be able to walk up to those police officers and just say, "Hey, just wondering what was going on." And I felt bad for those people that were getting arrested, but, oh, my God, I felt so good for me. I just felt so good for me. I just was so grateful. And, you know, and it just goes back to what I was saying earlier. Like, I don't know what's good or what's bad in somebody's life. That arrest could be the best thing that ever happened to them, because it was me getting arrested that brought me in here. And I had to go to drug court and I had to go to rehab. But you know what? It was the best thing, because I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for those circumstances. And, you know, it just is amazing to me how life continually surprises me. And it's not always what I want, but it's always what I need. So I thank you all for letting me share, and I'll keep coming back.
Let's thank Joy for sharing. I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Mike A. from New York.